Greetings, everyone. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world. WWCR 4840 on your radio dial. We're live tonight. We invite you to stay tuned. We got a program for you tonight. I think you're really going to enjoy, and we're going to call it the two-way mirror. You know, your life is a reflection of your deeds. Whatever you sow is what you reap. And man can't escape the baggage that he drags along behind. The Bible it actually says that some men's works go before him, and some follow after him. What do you think about your works? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I don't have to worry about that. I'm not saved by works. Well, that's true. You're saved by the work of the Spirit that was done before you ever come into this world, if you really want to know. But we have incorporated, sadly, the doctrines of men. We're referencing Matthew 15, verse 9, where Yahweh said that we would follow after the doctrines of men. That means that we wouldn't follow his advice. We wouldn't do what he said. Rather, we would do the traditional things. Well, you reject the commandments of Yahweh to keep your own tradition. And so then we've got to accept the doctrine from heaven. Now, it's recorded many, many times about what we've got to do to inherit eternal life. You know, he told the rich young ruler, he said, you know the commandments. Commandments is an action, something to do, and life, like I said, is a hidden mirror. If you go into the Walmart, let's take Walmart as an example. You go into a nice, clean store. You don't see any mirrors. You don't see anyone watching you with peering eyes and hidden cameras. But you can rest assured that they're not there just because you're beauty. They want to watch you and see how pretty you are, how much you buy. They want to see the actions that you're doing as you walk up and down the aisles. If you slip something in your clothing, an article, they're watching you, and then when you shoplift, they're there to catch you. People are actually hard. You never see them. This is part of the overhead expense that Walmart has, which is to watch you and watch your actions while you're in the store. Now, if you do something wrong because you don't see anybody, that's the same way that the two-way mirror of heaven is. You're building a foundation, whether you realize it or not. And some of the old saying, like, you're known by the company you keep, is a good saying. If you run around with the drug heads and you're always looking for a buck, something to steal, something to hawk, like most of the teenagers are in America today. America has gone into pot. It is really a sad state of being, even for those who claim Christianity. But they'll give you an easy way out. Let me show you something about doctrines of men. Now, what must I do to be saved? Well, according to the famous TV evangelist, and if you don't believe that, just listen to them, and they will explain to you just exactly what you've got to do. Pray the sinner's prayer. Where in the Bible, where does it say that an evangelist is supposed to show you that you've got to pray a sinner's prayer to be saved, and they'll accept you. Well, if you search the Bible, you would classify then that into the group of what I'm talking about tonight. Matthew 15:9, doctrines of men. There's no such commandment in the Bible where you're commanded to say a sinner's prayer, and you can be saved right there. It does tell you how to get saved. That's an action. Being born not again, as the church erroneously says, but being born from above, which needs an explanation. What does it mean that the Christians are saying you've got to be born again? Well, that's a very familiar quote from the preachers when they've got this little jig. Well, they add you real quick after they take up a collection, of course. After they get your money, they get your soul. And you better beware when you go into an institution, a saving institution, that they don't have doctrines of men. Now, they, inside these false assemblies, most of them are, I hate to say that, because they got doctrines of men. They carry a Bible, but they don't use that. And if you was to call them on it, they'll spend hours arguing about it, how old their church is and how many preachers it's had for its pastors and how famous they were. And the bigger the pastor and the more famous the body, the more famous the church. There's worldwide famous churches worldwide that has a lot of important men passing through it. That don't mean anything with Yahweh. Now, we got people that will actually deny the doctrine of Yahweh to keep their own commandments or to keep their own tradition, as thus saith the body of men or doctrines of men. I know for a fact in my search, and I've been on the search way for over 50 years, so I ought to know a little bit about doctrines of men and the two-way mirror. You can't hide anything from the angels who are recording everything that you do. The very hairs on your head is numbered. You'll give an account for every idle word. And whether you realize it or not, your works is hidden in the two-way mirror of eternity. You can't escape it. You can't get around it. You're going to reap what you sow. They're going to have it. They're going to pull it out on the day of judgment. You cannot deny it. And if you're found in the category of Matthew 15:9, which is the doctrine of man, rather than the doctrine of the Bible, you got to watch now, because these men have made it real easy for you by saying a sinner's prayer to get you to raise your hand and join their assembly, or like Mr. Graham says, we're not going to ask you to join, we're not going to do anything, we're just going to get you to come down and we're going to say a prayer, a simple prayer with you, and want you to go to the church of your choice. Graham was uniting the whole faction of churches that would support him, and those that agreed to do so, he agreed to not capture them for his sake, but just take money and offerings that's already taken up, and then he'd go about his business, and next time he come into the city and the churches would support him again, those that were behind him, by saying that sinner's prayer, and millions of people have been born again instead of born from above. Now, predestination, are you predestinated to serve Yahweh? Have you ever heard the scripture, many are called, but few are chosen? Well, they tell you opposite. You come down and choose Christ, and then you go to the church of your choice. After you've surrendered, raise your hand and been born again, as they say now, you're all born again. After you raise your hand up, they give you that born again form of religion, of man-made doctrine. And I'm almost embarrassed to tell you of the 50 years of experience plus that I've had in the Father, I have made my election and calling sure. I was first baptized as a Baptist boy in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Matthew 28:19 to be exact. And then I finally became to understand in Acts 2:38 that I needed to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, which the New Testament tells me that that was the Father's name. Now, I was glad to find that. It was a step up. And I got baptized again. The second time I got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I've done something that the two-way mirror would reflect my life, hopefully sincerely. And Yahweh and the angels that watch over me, they said, well, that's a step up. And I thought it was for 30 years. Preached that it was. Preached that you had to be born of the water and the Spirit, according to John, St. John, chapter 3, verse 5. Now, I preached that you had to be baptized, repent, first step, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 2:38, according to Acts 2:38. Read that verse, 2:37, then they said unto the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, man, I can read, I can speed read. I've read thousands of books, not that it's done me any good, but I have, and you can read. And they said unto them, Peter, the guy that I was speaking about last week, or this week, this past week, of building on a firm foundation, Peter, according to Matthew 16:18, he said, thou art Peter, and I give you the keys into the kingdom. And Peter set about declaring what we had to do, according to the King James Bible, that's written that Jesus Christ is his true name. Now, I preached this 30 years before I found out that that's a lie. Nowhere in the Bible, the original, is the name of Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, recorded from the pen of Peter or the scribes or anyone else. This is a Catholic doctrine lie, Jesus, put in there for the purpose of catching the fish in a net that doesn't understand. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. you don't have this knowledge, it's very important for you to seek out someone that does. Someone that will tell you the truth. Someone that will declare it unto you, the whole council. Because again, many are called, but few are chosen. Again, I was called again in the second baptism to repent again and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people believe this name, they die by it, they swear by it, but you can believe a lie and be damned. Now, behind the deception of the name Jesus, and I know I don't make friends when I preach this, I understand that. I understand that I don't have many friends that'll stick with me when I tell people the truth. I have people that'll talk about me, criticize me, withdraw their support because I tell them the truth. And that was what got the man from Galilee in trouble when he declared unto them the truth. He declared, I tell you the truth, no one can even see the kingdom of God unless he's born from above. Now, if I was called before the foundation of the world with my name on the Lamb's book, why would I have to dig and search and pray and listen to this false doctrine and be taken in by it for over the 30 to 40 years that I was? Why'd I have to go through all that? That pain and suffering? Well, the Bible said to strive to enter in at the straight gate. Here I am again. I'm died the second time in Jesus' name with that revelation. I thought I had the truth. But what I actually done, without checking, without seeing if the name, the authentic name of Jesus, was in the King James Bible original. Now let me tell you people that don't read, don't study, but swear by the King James Bible, the name Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, is not in the original King James Bible. Now, I know that, like I say, I'm not going to make no friends with that. Should you hate me because I tell you the truth? Should you hate me because I'm letting you look in the mirror that is hidden behind the veil that will show every deed and action for every work will be brought into judgment that you do? And I'm almost ashamed of mine. Here I am, three times a candidate to be birthed, as it says in John chapter 3, verse 5, no man can see the kingdom unless he's born from above of the water and the Spirit. Here I am, third time coming up. I find out about the mighty, magnificent, all-important, simple salvation. Is really simple, folks. It's not complicated. It's so simple, and yet I've seen preachers preach themselves into death kicking against this name. It's not wise for preachers to blaspheme against the name of Yahweh, which is a strong tower where the righteous run into it. I'm talking about flee. Get in there fast. Times are wasting. We're in the last days. And do not be taken in by the sly, cunning craftiness of the doctrines of men, Matthew 15:9, or do not even believe your own lies, your own self, through your sincerity, I was sincere when I was baptized as a 9-year-old Baptist boy in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. Father is not a name. The Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. Word is not a name. We have to have a vow point, and Josephus says that the name that was spoken by the high priest once a year on atonement. Now you gotta make atonement. Here I am a third time candidate for the water. Here I've been preaching for 30 years. I've been a believer for 48. Preaching for 30 of that to other people and didn't even know how to be saved myself. You got to start with repentance. Repentance means a sorrowful heart, a change of mind, going in a different direction. And man, did I ever make a wide swing in that little narrow path. I had to turn all of my magic mirrors around and look at myself honestly. And the works that I had done, preaching for over 30 years, baptizing hundreds and hundreds of people in Jesus' name, and finding out that Jesus wasn't even in the 1611 King James Bible. And I've said this many, many times, and preachers and believers go right on, believing a lie, defending a lie, slapping their breath, say, I know what I've got. They'll hold up the King James Bible. They'll die by it. They'll swear by it. Christ never picked up a King James Bible. He never spoke Greek. It's not recorded one scripture that he ever spoke that was Greek. The Tetragrammaton, which is a Greek word, which was in the Septuagint, a Greek rendering, before Christ died, he had access to that Greek version, and it had the Tetragrammaton intact in Hebrew. His name in Squash Group Hebrew, written at Bethel, not by a bulldozer, not by the imagination of man, put there millions of years prior to it, and that's a justified, the Bible said, prove all things. But he's to try to come and prove these false names that they give. And you rebuke him. He that is often rebuked and stiffens his neck and hardens his heart shall be cut off, and that without remedy. But for pride, pride goes before a fall. They've got followers. They would rather die and go to hell than to acknowledge repentance with a sorrowful heart and a change of mind and go in a different direction. You gotta have a new birth. Now what is the results of a new birth? Truth. The Holy Ghost, we shall come upon you after you repent and are baptized. It's a promise. If you made an acceptance, repentance, it's got to be accepted. Yahweh knows your heart. You've got to repent. You just got to believe. Well, Simon the sorcerer believed. It takes more than believing to be accepted. Strive to enter into straight gate. Simon the sorcerer was baptized. Takes more than believing. Takes more than repentance and water baptism. It takes more. You've got to have a repentance and baptism of truth. Now, the truth is going in a different way. Like the Apostle Paul, who preached against the acceptance of the name of Yahweh. Now, he had to get knocked down. It takes something to knock you off your high horse. Sometimes it takes death. And you still won't accept it. After being rebuked and challenged many times with the word, and we stand ready to challenge anyone in the continental United States of America or foreign countries, the European Union, wherever that you want to come from, because we know that a new birth must take place before you enter the kingdom, and you've got to look in that mirror, not like Simon the sorcerer who believed. Most of the evangelists would have took him in right then. Then when he agreed to get baptized, they would have sure took him in. But he didn't do this because he wanted to change his ways. He wanted to add, he seen this was a money-making deal. Like most evangelists get a following and they jump and believe something or feel something before they hear the truth. To get the true foundation, when the Holy Ghost comes, it's fire. It's life-changing. You will become a new creature speaking with a new tongue, not an unknown tongue, which is another false doctrine of these Pentecostals that come and say that, well, you got to speak in tongues. It's got to be an unknown tongue and glory to God. Well, they all spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost, which we're fixing to have a Pentecost here in July the 29th and the 30th, we're going to be celebrating Pentecost. We invite you, if you would like to come and attend, if you're close by, just a two-day event. Third day, Sunday, would be a getaway day. So if you can come and attend, they will be preaching and baptizing here at the assembly in Sweetwater, Tennessee. Now, you will not pray a sinner's prayer. No one will ask you to. But we'll give you evidence through repentance and receiving the Holy Spirit, which is truth. Supper's long, it's kind, it's not puffed up, it's not envious, it's life-changing. The things that you used to love, you'll hate. Who caused you to get in your old pickup truck or your automobile? Who caused you to get on a jet plane and travel 3,000 or 4,000 miles, even cross oceans of water to get here to get it done? That means to be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of your sin. Now, we challenge anyone under the sound of our voice to prove any other name except Yahweh. And the word hallelujah, taken within context, means praise you, Yahweh. Most Christians use it as an afterthought. It's like an afterburner on a jet engine. An igniter, if you will, a faith igniter. When you get all stirred up, you'll say, hallelujah. Most Christians do that out of error, not knowing what they're saying. If you're one of those, wouldn't you like to have a tract that I offer you tonight, free of charge, just right, a pastor buddy, and I'll give you the address at the end of the show if we have time. Write me or call me. Accept the truth 7,000 scriptures cannot be wrong written in the Hebrew tongue, not the English tongue, not the Greek tongue, all these other tongues. You say, well now, Pastor Buddy, I'm not a Hebrew. Let me explain this one more time for you and go over it quite well for your benefit as you enter the kingdom, or you choose to repent, enter the kingdom, and it's like a two-way mirror. Your works will go before you or follow after you, one way or the other. They know what you've done. They can see on the spiritual side. Now, on this side, it's invisible. You can't see a thing. You just look like a normal person standing there. But if you've ever gone through the change, repentance, that's through repentance, you become a new creature, and you've been baptized in the name of Yahweh. That name is in your forehead, according to the book of Revelation 22, verse 4. That name can be seen visibly in the spirit world. It'll shine like the noonday sun. You can't deny it. But if you have a name that seems right, that name will be shining out of your forehead, and you ain't going to have no time to run back down here. If you leave this planet, then the judgment, that's what it says. Don't get caught without changing the mirror. Make your election and calling sure, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise to you. I've seen people get baptized in the name of Yahweh, make a wonderful start, get their head swelled up through studying, and become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Can't prove nothing. Don't have a shred of evidence of what they believe. Yet they believe it because they have misinterpreted, or they're going by man's tradition and his commandments. You can accept Yahweh all you want, but if Yahweh doesn't accept you before the foundation of the world, and your name chosen to be put there, so that when he calls you, remember, many are called, but few are chosen. You pray. Matthew 22:14 says, many are called, but few are chosen. Peter added to that word chosen, in this reference of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen generation. When were you chosen? You were chosen before the foundation of the world. Why are you a royal priesthood? That word is not to be taken lightly. When you study the Bible and see this royal blood connection, and that you are a holy nation, a peculiar people, then you'll know why that you're not called and chosen before the foundation of the world to mix with the world or love the world or have anything to do with the world or accept the doctrine of man that we've been talking about. Ezekiel 20:41. I will accept you, Yahweh said, as a fragrant incense. When I bring you out from the nations, at the other races, and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will show myself holy to you in the sight of the nation. In the last days, Yahweh's name, where Paul had been hooked with a doctrine of the Pharisees, boy, it's too holy. You ain't supposed to use that name. Arrest them, Paul. You think they was arresting people that called on Jesus, a Greek Latin name? I don't think so. Can you wake up to this? Isaiah 41, verse 9. I took you from the ends of the earth. Now, the reason he took you from the ends of the earth is because he knew you before you came into the earth, according to Jeremiah. He chose you before you were ever in your mother's belly. I know this is deep, structural, foundational doctrine. I chose you from the farthest of the corners. I called you. You are my servant. I have chosen you, and I will not reject you. Everyone he's chosen. Now, he's called many, but everyone he's chosen will be on his lamb's book. And his sheep hear his voice, and they won't follow a stranger. That's where that I can't worry about whether you're going to have this or not if you're listening to me. I leave that burden up to you. That's your burden. The only thing I know, I got baptized 3 times before I got it right. Water baptism is to be administered only by immersion. Like Paul said, we are buried with him, Yahweh the Christ, Yahweh the Savior, by baptism. Romans 6 and 4 and Colossians 2 and 12. He was there in the watery grave with us. He made us a promise that he would be there. And when Philip was preaching this to the eunuch, they both went down into the water. Water is a symbol of a grave. That old man has to die. That new man has to emerge and come out of that water. Sprinkling, pouring, cannot be substituted by man's traditions to make it easier for you. The name in which baptism is administered is vitally important. Because in the two-way mirror, like I said, that name, it's like it's in neon blazing light in a dark place. That name cannot be hid. Your works cannot be hid. It will stand up and out. If it's wrong, it will stand out. If it's right, it will stand out. And the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Choose who you will serve. Even the last commandment, after the Messiah raised from the dead, it behooved him to preach that sins and remissions of sins should be remitted in his name. It behooved him. Because he knew that the people would administer tradition, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost and deceive them, or in Jesus' name in the New Testament. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not names, but titles, positions held by the Mighty One. His name is Yahweh, always was and always will be. None can change it. It's forever written, and everyone that's been baptized in Yahweh's name and remain faithful have not removed that name by other works. We know it was very important for the disciples of John to be rebaptized in the name of Yahweh. John 5:43 said, I come in my Father's name. 7,000 times they removed his name and put in Lord for Baal. And now we've got a book of confusion for a Bible, if not rightly divided. The angelic announcement that was revealed in Matthew 1:21, thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which means Yahweh with us. This mode of operation, of doctrine, that we're to preach, that Yahweh visited the earth in a flesh body. This body of flesh was named Yahweh. It came and was written 7,000 times in Hebrew. In the Tetragrammaton, none can deny it, and yet people want to come along and change it and preach the doctrines of men and die and go to hell. If you're one of those that's been caught up in a false name, repent tonight. Repent and pray for the remission of your sins. Take this name upon you. Hallelujah, the most important name in the universe. Don't take it lightly. I'm warning you, those who do shall be cut off suddenly and without remedy. You can boast, you can be proud, you can write a book, you can blaspheme, you can do anything you want to, just like Herod did. Herod wouldn't accept the Messiah. Pilate wasn't accepting. King Agrippa was almost persuaded to accept him. But these apostles came preaching a Hebrew Savior by the name of Yahweh. And we preach it tonight. We confirm it with signs following. And it's the baptism of the apostolic truth. All you got to do is replace J-E-S-U-S, which was never in there. Take my word for it. Study and pray. Write me. I'll send you information. It might be life-changing, and I hope it will be. If it's not, you're going to miss the gate. You've got to be a seeker of truth. You've got to put off tradition. And take this truth. Well, my wife would leave me over that. Well, let your wife go, please. Would it be better to enter into heaven without your wife than to go to hell with her? Let your husband go. Would it be better for you to enter into heaven without your husband than to go to hell with him? You're responsible. The two-way mirror is shining right now with your works. Yahweh don't have any trouble with his x-ray vision of looking in your forehead. He knows exactly what name that you prophesied. Listen to the word here. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Evidently, the name that they had in their forehead, which could be seen when he said, depart from me, Matthew 7:23, you. Now, if your name don't match his name, you're going to have gate trouble. Paul became a converted believer after he persecuted those that were speaking the name of Yahweh. Now, we've been done an injustice. That's where your work's cut out for you. You got to get in the Scriptures and search the Scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life. You don't have any. Oh, yes, Yahweh's got great mercy, but that mercy is extended only for his sheep. The rest of them, he said, bring them here before me and slay them before me. Your marriage, your children, your job, your friendship, the things that you hold dear means nothing to him. For that which is highly esteemed among man is an abomination to Yahweh. Make your election and calling sure. Be sure your sins find you out. Get your sins remitted in a true name. Not a false name, not a false promise. Now this is necessary to get this done so that Yahweh can then bless you after that you become a seeker and you begin to grow. You'll understand how to love him and keep his law and delight in him from day one to the day he called you until he says, enter in, my blessed servant. Enter into the joy that is promised to you from the foundation of the world. Born from above, not again. These people born again that made no change. They were born again in a false name. Many will say to me in that false name, Lord, Lord, have we done many wonderful works in your name? Depart from me, I don't know you. You gotta have the true name applied to you. Now, your job is to search the Scripture for when you think you have eternal life. You don't have none. Make, as I've said, your election and your calling sure. Don't be quick to go out of the name of Yahweh. Stay in the name of Yahweh. You've got only Yahweh's word, walking by faith, to keep you in it. You've got 1,000 demons screaming against you to try to draw you away and to cause you to fall from your steadfastness. Notice, Yahweh is a strong tower. Again, the righteous run into it. I literally ran into the name of Yahweh. I couldn't wait to get that name embedded in my forehead. It's still there. I will answer to Yahweh at the last trump. When we all stand before him, the books is going to be open in another book, which is the book of life. You see, all these sinner prayer Christians, well, I accepted you, Lord. He said, what name you got in your forehead? Well, I got Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's the way the preacher told me to get baptized. Well, he says, what's the Father's name? He didn't tell me that, Lord. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't put some effort in studying the Scriptures, if you don't pray for understanding, if you don't fast and seek him, and if you won't hear the prophets, you certainly will not hear anyone else. Oh, hate them that's got rule over you. Most of them is heady and high-minded and proud, full of bitterness and contempt. That's not what the Holy Ghost is all about. That's not what the love of Yahweh, you should have brought in your hearts, all about. That's not seeking the inward kingdom. That's not what it's all about. There is a way that you've been persuaded that seems right. Well, I don't have to be told by nobody. I've got the inside track. Well, the Bible says, how can you hear without a preacher? Yahweh, whether you like it or not, chose the foolishness of preaching. And nowhere did those preachers that preach the truth, which is foolishness, pray a sinner's prayer, or that you join the church. Or to get you into Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or into Jesus' name in the Bible, it's not there. You people, it's in Jesus' name, listen to what I'm saying. I love you. If I didn't, I wouldn't preach this hard truth to you. I wouldn't warn you time after time to repent and come out of that. Make your election call. Make sure get that name that's above every name. Yeah, but my preacher, he's a bigger preacher than you, Pastor Buddy. Our church has got bigger stained windows than yours. A poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. They go by how big a person, how important you are, how many times you've been around the world, how many times you've flown and had big revivals. They don't care nothing about you going to a cave and getting a gallon of water, staying down there till you hear from the Father. You come out there with revelations that the world don't understand, won't have what you say, and you find yourself a man of sorrow, acquainted with the Creator, who likewise was hated because he revealed the truth. It's not change, folks. It's glamorous, evangelistic power and flashy rings and watches and jewelry. Some of these Pentecostals, they're weighted down with these impressive looking duds, their jewelry, their gay clothing. They think that if I can put on a ring on each finger, these people will know I'm somebody. That don't impress the Father. It may impress the people, but it don't impress the Father. If you ain't got truth, you don't need a ring to have the truth. You don't need a ring to shout glory and the name of Yahweh. You just need humbleness. You say, but if I preach like you did, Pastor Buddy, I'd be hated too. Well, that's really why that some of you won't preach this name like Pastor Buddy's preaching to you tonight. It's because it makes more people mad than it does glad. But those who have a holy calling, straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it, search the scriptures, strive to enter in, make your election and calling sure. If you do that, you have done well. I've got to get off here tonight. My time is coming and gone. I'm sponsored tonight by my good friend, Dr. Gary, at 1-877-289-7439. A longtime supporter of the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. That's 1-877-289-7439. Tell him that Pastor Buddy sent you. Inquire of Dr. Gary. He's a wise man. He'll let you know about the rest of the story. said and enforce it as truth. He's not ashamed of the gospel, for he's been persuaded a long time ago that this truth is the truth that salvation is made of. No other name given under heaven whereby that you can be saved. Not Jesus, not Jehovah, not Lord, not God, not Adonai, not Theos, or Kuros. You better drop that and get the only name. When you say hallelujah, you understand what you've said? You can call me tonight at area code 423-351-1082. Now, I'll give you the truth. I know it made a lot of you mad. You'd rather keep your tradition. But if you'd like to call me, you'd like free information, I'll send it to you. Call me, area code 423-351-1082. If you'd like to go to our website and see why over 30,000 people have visited it in the last 3 months or so, go to oneyahweh.com. oneyahweh.com. You'll find out what 30,000 people plus have found out. It's a great website. Brother Bob is our webmaster. Lives in the great state of Arkansas. If you have any questions, his number's on there. My number's on there. We'd be glad to discuss it with you and give you tracks on the way of salvation. Get it while it can be found. Call upon it while it's near. You can write me at Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater. One word, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Again now, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Now, we're looking in the near future to having more time on WWCR. We're in the process now of collecting more time on 4840, where you're listening tonight on WWCR, the transmitting Jewel of the South, for more airtime. If you can help us, send us that offering of encouragement. Let us know that you like truth. Encourage us to preach the truth. You ought to support the truth. Remember the two-way mirror. You can't hide nothing. Your works are known. That will be exposed on the day of judgment. The book's going to be opened, another book, a book of life, and those people are going to be judged out of it according to what the books say and the book of life. I hope and trust that this truth brought to you by those that love it tonight on WWCR. Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. I'll see you around the world next Sunday night. Yahweh bless you.